The Off The Ball Podcast Network. OTB AM.
Brought to you by Pandora. Find the perfect gift this Valentine's Day.
Okay, so Pinergy, the smart energy provider, and Munster rugby player Andrew Conway are kicking off 2020 by announcing that all Pinergy customers can charge their electric vehicles for free on Fridays throughout the year, so that they can start their weekends off with a full charge, courtesy of Pinergy. Munster Rugby's home stadiums, Thomond Park and indeed Irish Independent Park, are fully powered by renewable energy sources supplied by Pinergy, which is its official energy partner. Andrew Conway, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you. How's it going?
Very well, thanks. Let's get straight into it. The Wales game, it wasn't bad, was it?
No, yeah, it was an enjoyable day. It was a tough match, and Wales are one of the top teams in the world, so we are very aware of what was in front of us after having a tough game the weekend before against a good Scottish team. It was a good result. Obviously, they scored a try in the last play of the game, which changed the look of the scoreline, I suppose, a bit. But it was an enjoyable day, I must say.
Yeah, that word enjoyable has been used by a couple of people in the aftermath of it. Your captain, Johnny Sexton, said it in the press conference immediately after the game. And it's something that I think was evident. People seem to be enjoying their rugby a little bit more after the last couple of months for Irish rugby.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, the World Cup didn't go as anyone planned for it to go, and these things happen. But the only thing you do is try and take some learnings, move on, and get back on the horse. And I actually thought that the Scottish game was a really tough test match that wasn't appreciated how tough a game that was, and it was almost the chat after was that we hadn't moved on or anything, but not enough credit was given to a good Scottish team that came over and made life very difficult for us. So we were happy with that win, as much as there's always areas to improve, and then there's a great opportunity against Wales, as I said, a brilliant Welsh side to have another crack at them, and it was at home for the second week in a row, which was great. They play in front of our home crowd again, and we upped our performance, which we needed to, and had a good win, obviously.
Yeah, like that Scotland result now, the form from that game has been franked because after their performance against England really at the weekend as well. So privately, are you feeling that the performance level against Wales was around the same level, or have you ratcheted it up a notch within the space of 1 week?
Yeah, no, it definitely went up. The performance was definitely better against Wales. We started really well. We had a great first half, obviously, and then we were under the pump a bit in the second half, and a few big moments with a big turnover and a scrum. Obviously, Hadley Park knocked the ball on over the line, which is ideal for us. We weren't panicking at all after the Scottish match. We knew how tough a game that was. We knew what level of intent they brought, and made it very tough for us to dig in. And we had some amazing defensive set in that game, which we needed to have, and we needed to keep them out. And then we obviously turned up as a probably more fluent attacking unit within the Welsh game, especially in that first half. Things were flowing pretty nicely at times, and obviously there's a lot more to go, but it was definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you personally obviously had a very good day at the office. You were in the mix for the man of the match conversation in the aftermath of the game. On a personal level, is there any particular thing that you can pick out that has allowed your game to get to this level at the moment? Because I think it has been a constant build over the last couple of seasons to where you're now one of the standout players at test level.
Yeah, I think that you probably hit the nail on the head there. It's just been a building process for the last, actually, 4 years probably, where I strip back a lot of my approach to the game and put a lot of thought into how I can become the absolute best player I can be, and took a bit of time and a bit of work, and obviously it's going to be a constant thing going forward. It's about never settling and always looking to evolve as a player, and it these things take time, and I've been chipping away, and like you said, I've been I think it was my 20th cap there on the weekend, so I've been chipping away for a while now, and feeling like I've been adding to my game kind of on a consistent basis, just through consistency of preparation, really having been pretty strict with myself on all the bits and pieces that go into a daily life of a rugby player, let's say, with the obvious things that are there for me with my pitch sessions, but the extras after. And it's easy to do that for a while and then almost think, all right, that's grand, I've gotten a bit better at that, and leave it. The tough thing is to just stay with it and continue to try and grow and continue to reflect back and see where you can grow and look for opportunities, because if you keep looking for them, you're going to keep finding them. And that seems to have worked a bit over the last while, and something that I've been pretty consistent with. And you eventually see the differences within training, and then you take that into matches. And obviously, it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to play the perfect game, but you want to always strive to be adding strings to your bow every week and every day. And that's probably something that I've made a conscious effort of over the last few years.
When you mention those extras that you're doing, perhaps after training and outside of training, what sort of things do you mean there?
Just like, it depends. Each week is maybe a small bit different. High ball stuff is the obvious one. As a back three player, it's usually important to be dominant in the air. And I wasn't blessed with the tallest frame of a man, so I've had to work pretty hard on that to get my timing off the ball right, to get my ability to kind of catch in different ways. I suppose the best way to try and describe it with your hands in different positions based on certain things around kick chase or kick receipt. And then kicking is obviously one of them that you need to be accurate at. And the way we're going to be trying to play is that it's a kind of shared responsibility of what not just looking for the nines and tens to be kicking the ball and the wingers to chase. If there's space from a running perspective, that the ball gets moved, and then that changes their defensive line and the space then in behind, because we've pulled the 15 up. I need to have the ability to execute an accurate kick, select the kick first, and then the ability to execute the skill of it. So there's a lot that goes into it, I suppose, and it's just trying to be consistent with it every week and bringing lads along and trying to link up with lads who are really good in specific areas and learn from them and kind of all kind of bring each other along.
That's very interesting, because I think if anybody did an analysis of your performance on Saturday, they might have picked out your performance under the high ball, your kicking, as two of the standout areas. Just on that high ball, is there any particular drills you were doing? Is there any particular people you worked with to get to this level where you say you perhaps aren't blessed with, say, Jacob Stockdale's height, for example, going up in the air, but you've obviously been able to do something. What is that thing that's helped you to get to that level?
Well, it's definitely not one thing. It's over a few years. I think Felix Jones is a big part of it. He was really good aerial fullback, and we would have done a lot of work back when he was playing, and then back to whenever he was coaching me, we would have worked hard on that side of the game. And it's just working with the lads who you're playing with. So after training on a Monday or Tuesday, or even a lot of the time in the captain's room, we do a bit of it. Linking up with guys who are in the same position as me, and then even just say on kick chase, linking up with the nines, and I had a great little few minutes with Luke McGrath there on Friday in the Aviva before or after the captain's run, sorry, and we were just talking about different kick selections, what I'm looking for as a winger going after the ball, where in and around I want the kick to go. So all these little small interactions and conversations are involved in the bigger picture of a good kick, then a good chase, and then a good result for the team.
It sounds like you study this very closely, Andrew. You possibly played a game on instinct, but certainly from what I'm hearing here, you study quite a lot of what you're doing and you analyse as much as possible in terms of predicting how you can get the better outcome from your training.
As high balls, I really enjoy kick chase. I suppose it's not the most glamorous thing to look at in the world, but it's something that is a controllable, in my opinion. I know how fast I can. If the ball's kicked up in the air from point A to point B, and it doesn't land at point B until whatever 3 seconds, and I can run that 25 yards within that 3 seconds. Well, obviously, there's other stuff that plays a part in it with escorting and different teams. But the kick is good enough. Usually, you'll be able to beat those forwards who are trying to escort you back and be able to get in the contest. So There's one element of a controllable where it's effort based, and getting out of the blocks early is a huge part of it, and not assuming that a kick is going to be too long or too short. It's getting out of the blocks early for the first 10 yards, trying to beat that original escort. And then once you're in a bit of free space, you then recalibrate yourself a bit and go, right, the ball's going to be landing there, while also still going at a fairly good clip. And then the next part is just probably a timing and a skill-based execution into competing effectively. And obviously, there's other ways to do it. You can go up and try and win a clean. You can up with the tap back if you're not in a strong position. But that's all kind of, yeah, it's all done through a training process. And then once you're in the game, you're not thinking of it. You're just doing what is your instinct in the game. And so you want to try and get that as right as many times as possible.
You might then be the best person to tell us how well Conor Murray played at the weekend then, because it seems that you've got a very, very in-depth idea of the perfect kick. Where is his box-kicking game at the moment and what's it like to chase it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Conor's got a rare talent in that he can probably get nearly a second longer than most other players with a kick, which makes a big difference for a chaser to go after it, because it's the potential to go longer. So the longer it goes, essentially, and if I can get to where it's going to drop by the time it's dropping, the more chance that I'll have of a one-on-one, because I'm able to, it's going to be kind of forward to or trying to beat me back to that space. And as a winger, I should be beating them back in a 25 kind of to 30 meter race. So yeah, like his kicking is probably, in my opinion, the best box kick in the world. And it's not always going to be perfect by any stretch. And I'd be giving them stick sometimes for wanting it to be a certain percentage of his max output and all this kind of weird stuff that I'd be getting onto him about, just wrecking his head. But more often than not, just leave him do his thing. Just tell him to give it a bit of length and get me into the contest. And if he can put it in and around a certain area and I'm 100% committed to the chase, then we've got a chance of getting the ball back.
Right, so that's a dialogue then between scrum half and his backs. This is not just Conor Murray thinking to himself, right, time to box kick. This is everybody needing to be as one when it comes to this box kicking tactic.
100%, yeah. It's not the way the game is now. There's so many different variables to every part of play. It's how the ruck is set. It's the speed of the ball. Giving a run option on the open side, so they can't drop four lads back. They have to respect the run. And then if we do all those things right, then it's obviously next thing up is a kick, and that's down to Conor's execution of it. And then you move on to the winger's chase. And so it's not just a Conor Murray decides to box kick it. It's obviously a bit of part of the game plan. It's seeing space. If we see someone back there that we want to target, we'll put it up on them. And there's a definite dialogue that goes into it all.
I wanted to ask you about Mike Katz's attacking system. Is it a situation where you're hugging the touchlines a bit more, or is that just a very easy analysis based on you scoring a try at the weekend?
No, I'd say that's probably a bit too simplistic. That was like my job is to be on the wing to receive those balls at those times that the lads do a good enough job on the inside to create a bit of space from the outside. I obviously need to be scoring those tries that whenever the space is created for you. But the level of detail that goes into getting that is probably the one you want to talk about. The different carries that get you over a gain line, the detail of a breakdown, of making a ruck long or getting a body off the ball quick so we have quick ball, then the pass quality, the depth from Jordan to allow himself to have enough time to move it and not be hit man and ball, and then the pass accuracy that I don't have to be checked too much and I can get in the corner. So there's so many different pieces to the jigsaw that create an overlap like that, and I'm obviously, as a 14, you're in that position. You're there to finish those tries.
Yeah, like between Kat's system and between Stephen Larcombe's system, I'd imagine you're picking up quite a bit this year. That if you're a Munster stroke Ireland player at the moment, if you've got your wits about you and can be a sponge, there is a great wealth of knowledge to be learnt there as a winger, especially.
100%. Yeah, you just exactly like you're saying. You need to be a sponge. You need to be inquisitive. Ask questions, look to continue to grow, look to get different opinions and talk and like even Steve sometimes in Munster, it's funny, he's one of the first coaches that will say something in a meeting and then about a minute later will actually go back and say, sorry lads, I was actually wrong there, that was I actually shouldn't have said that, and right, re-explain his point. So he's like, because no coaches are perfect there, we're all trying to grow, and we can help them in a way, and obviously they can help us massively. So just learning from the two lads is massive, and being open for different ideas and having different chats and looking to reflect and looking at what happened in the game, what could we have done differently, what could we do well, how can we link up better. There's endless possibilities, I suppose, with coaches of that quality.
We've spoken about some of the attributes that you've added to your game that are tangible. Some of the intangible things then I'd imagine have been just as important for you. Like, I mean, I'm sure there was some disappointment about not getting a run out against New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup, but in general I think you've had to bide your time to get a good run in the team for Ireland. Has there been a lot of psychological work that's gone in there to, I guess, increase your level of patience and to realise that if you stick through the process you will eventually make that break?
Yeah, that's it exactly. You stick to the process and you work as hard as you can, you work as smart as you can, you continue to try and add different skills along the way, and there's going to be disappointments along the way, as there is with everything, whether it's a loss, whether it's not getting into a team, whether it's a poor performance. You try and obviously minimise them to the best year of Italy, but that's just life, and you roll with the punches. And I think a great one to fall back on is that if your processes are right, and they're not always going to be right again, but if you're continually getting things right within your process, the outcome is almost secondary, because it's so easy to live with yourself after maximizing your effort, after putting a lot of thought into your processes, sure, whether that's on the pitch or off the pitch, and doing things the right way and not the easy way. And then at the end of the day, we're playing a game where there's 15 lads trying to beat us, and there's 15 of us trying to beat another team, and things are going to fall as they may. But if you've got your preparation right, and if you've got your kind of individual mindset as good as it could be, then at the end of the day, you can be pretty comfortable with yourself.
Did I read somewhere, Andrew, that you got into the habit of almost journaling a couple of years ago, where you were kind of jotting things down about your performance? Because it's something that's kind of en vogue at the moment. Just reading Rory McIlroy's on a series of interviews in the Sunday Independent over the last couple of weeks, and he's really gone heavy on the journaling over the last couple of years. Just self-analysis, just sitting down with a notebook and thinking about it and actually getting it down on paper, that's really helped him. I'm not sure, is it journaling as such, but I think I read that you've been jotting some things down about yourself.
Yeah. No, journalism is a good way to describe it. So I got into that probably about 3 years ago, and it's changed over a period of time. At the moment, I am doing a bit of, I kind of have a few affirmations that I write down that I'll be keeping to myself, but sure, they're kind of something that kind of reinforce where I want, what I think I am as a player, where I want to be, and they also make me quite accountable for my preparation. If I'm writing down what I'm writing and I'm not preparing at a level that is 100%, then when I go to write that down in the evening, you'd feel like a bit of a fraud. So there's that side of things. Then you write down a bit of reflection on how you're feeling and what's been going well, what you've done throughout that day. So if we train on, say, a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, play Saturday, I do a bit of writing on all those days, and then the Wednesdays we have an off day, so I take it easy for that day, and then the Sunday I wouldn't do anything either, and kind of take your little break through there. Because a couple of years ago, or even last season, I was doing it 7 days a week, and then I went back to have a look at it there recently, over Christmas. I'd actually not done anything for about 3 months, from about, I think it might have been February through to May last season. Nice. And that's just because I was overdoing it, and it became a chore. But now I've kind of got a nice balance of you're getting a really good, you're getting a bit of work done. You're also not going over the top of it. You can see trends when you go back and have a look at it, of what games I played on any given weekend, what my language was leading into that game. Was there any specific things that I was saying that ended up being really positive and that reflected on the performance? There's a few bits and pieces like that I kind of stumbled into over the years that seem to have helped me.
And is that from reading books, Andrew? Is that from talking to coaches who are big into self-analysis?
I don't know where it came from, to be brutally honest. Yeah, it's actually a bit of a mystery to me where that particular habit came into it. I don't actually have the answer for it, but it's changed over the years, and it what I've got written down from last week, in 3-4 months it will probably be a different setup, because I would have been, whether I look back and go, I can do that a bit better, or I can take that out, because that's not really, that's a bit of a waste of the time, you know what I mean? So it's something that's been there for a while, and it is constantly evolving.
Right, well, it seems to be working anyway, Andrew. Just a final point then, of course, less than a fortnight now until the big one in Twickenham. A fantastic opportunity for this group of players to get a bit of a revenge against England.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I haven't really thought about it too much, to be honest with you, because we obviously only played on Saturday and we're on Monday today, and we're not actually in today. We're back into camp tomorrow evening. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting in there and preparing to play against one of the best teams in the world. Obviously, they're a recent World Cup finalists and have kind of gone through us a few of the last times we played them. So it's going to be a massive challenge over in Twickenham. They haven't played there this year yet. They've been away twice, and they'll be looking forward to getting back to their home ground and building on what's been a pretty successful time for them. But obviously, we've got different plans too.
Yeah, I'd imagine you do. Listen, Andrew, you've been so generous with your time. Thanks a million for taking the call.
No worries. Thanks very much.
OTB
AM. Brought to you by Pandora. Find the perfect gift this Valentine's Day.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.